You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, go away you fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
I'm not solo tonight, yay!
Yeah, it's summertime and we'll get to some just banter about how we're spending the summer a little later in the podcast, but it's good to be back, Andy, joining you for a new pod.
Yeah, you know, you know, we try and put them out a little bit. Obviously, we don't have the typical level of Gopher content in the summer that we do during the seasons, but
it is a bit slower right now.
we just don't want you, our beautiful listeners, to forget about us. So we'll try and put something out at least a little bit every once in a while here in the summer before we really start ramping things up when we get to the start of football fall camp.
Oh, football! I am so ready for you, football. Which I suppose is actually a wonderful transition because agenda item number one is football recruiting. It's summer, which is usually about the time the Gophers sort of heat up the recruiting news a little bit. And in the last week, we've had three verbal commitments to Coach Fleck and the Gophers. Correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, Andy, because I am not the plugged-in recruiter here, but Spencer Alvarez, tight end from here in Minnesota, Zach Evans, a running back from Texas, and literally like 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, something like that, Ike White, great name, wide receiver from don't remember where, have all verbaled to the Gophers. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, we'll give a little bit on each. Ike White, we'll start with him, the newest Gopher recruit from Baltimore, actually. So we lose a wide receiver to Baltimore. We get a wide receiver from Baltimore. You know, as Rashad Bateman will play for the Ravens.
Excited for that, too, actually.
Yeah, no, so Ike White is seems to be another really sort of athletic receiver. Isn't going to be necessarily your big guy. Your 6'2", 6'3", guy, but he's going to be more of that sort of 5'11", you know, shifty burner, can play in the slot, but can also play a little bit outside. And, yeah, he's a three-star, but, again, when you look at the offer list, Tennessee, Maryland, Indiana, Cincinnati, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, you know, not too bad. So some schools that we definitely would like to be compared with when it comes to. So, you know, White was here last weekend for the Gophers' first big summer smash event, or whatever they were calling it, with several of the other players, you know, some of the commits we'd already had before. You know, White was named a top performer at the Baltimore Under Armour All-American Camp. You know, he's, like I said, he's built like a slot receiver, but he might be able to get it done at the outside as long as he can get off the line. So,
and when in doubt, you know, a wide receiver is not somebody that you have too many concerns about when it comes to Fleck and company.
No. I mean, the Gophers do a pretty good job recruiting wide receivers. So apparently Matt Simon really liked what he saw when he was working out for him. So the Gophers are pretty happy to have Ike White in the boat. You know, next in line, second most recent recruit, that would be Zach Evans. He's a running back from Texas. You know, again, he's only 5'9", 200, so he's a smaller back, but people have compared him pretty, you know, pretty consistently to a Rodney Smith type. You know, he's more of a downhill guy, but he can bounce into the outside. He has really good vision. You know, he reads blocks well and can find the holes that are available for him. And again, you know, you look at the offer list. Arizona State, although, you know, with Arizona State recruits, maybe that's not such a good thing right now, given the recent news.
Cheating.
Utah, Notre Dame, Texas, although who knows if that offer was still committable. But ironically, 2 days before he came up for his official visit to Minnesota, Zach Evans was given an Iowa offer. Whether that was to try and you know, to persuade him or whatever, but it did not work. Evans committed on his visit here last Friday, and looks like he'll be the next in line to try and see where he fits in that Gopher backfield. You know, I think one would say that we probably still have some open questions after Mo Ibrahim graduates this season or moves on to the NFL. You know, there isn't a obvious successor for him. So, you know, we'll take all comers for that position to take over that job here in a year or two for sure. And then rounding out the third recruit that Minnesota got, and this one made some people scratch their heads, but again, this one goes definitely down as a trust the coaching staff one, but the Gophers got Spencer Alvarez, tight end from Columbia Heights, Minnesota. For anybody who's not familiar with the Metro, it's basically an inner ring suburb of Minneapolis. And Alvarez doesn't really have high recruiting levels, mainly because he tore his ACL during his junior season last year. So he only played 3 games, I think, before doing that. But from you know, reading, it sounds like the Gophers believe that he probably would have been you know, the top tight end in the state of Minnesota had he been able to be healthy, and they're looking forward to him getting back into that form this fall for his senior year. You know, Alvarez is definitely that big body tight end that we've seen the Gophers start to get lately, 6'7", 245 at the moment. So compare him with the Brevin Spann Ford, compare him with the Jake Paulson type. And Alvarez apparently has the frame to add more bulk onto it, especially gets into a college strength program. So some people even said, you know, depending upon how well he takes that weight, he might slide in from a tight end spot to actually end up maybe being sort of a tackle prospect. You know, he definitely is unknown. Minnesota was his only Division I offer. In fact, his only other offer prior to the Gophers offering and him accepting immediately was from Mankato State. So, you know, I think the Gopher coaching staff thinks that they might have gotten an under-the-radar steal here. They've done reasonably well picking up players that have been injured who have come back from those injuries and played well at a collegiate level. So we'll just have to wait and see. You know, I think whenever you can get a good potential in-state prospect, it's a good day.
You know, it's got to be really interesting to be a player like Spencer in this, you know, last recruiting year with everything, you know, that you would normally have done on-site for camps not happening, with, you know, basically if you got hurt, film is the only thing the staffs really had to work off of. There really wasn't any opportunity for in-person evaluation at all over the last, well, now I guess it would be 15, 16 months, pretty much. And so, you know, up until just this summer. So if you're a guy like Spencer and you really don't have any film because you barely played before you got hurt, I have to imagine that was a tough process for him, just because if you're, you know, not local, what else does any program really have to go on? So that'll be interesting to see if he has a good year, what'll happen for his offers, or if, you know, it's tight end, maybe people have already got who they want and he'll just slot into being a Minnesota with no other offer, and we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's, I mean, it's definitely something you're seeing a lot. I mean, June generally is the start of the summer recruiting period, and especially what we've seen lately with PJ Fleck, it gets hot and heavy. We're not seeing quite the fast takeoff that we've been having, mainly I think because of those things. Is, you know, a lot of players had unusual seasons last year with COVID, people have not been able to have been evaluated in person. And we know how much that Minnesota trusts their in-person evaluations. You know, they're finally being able to get out to camps. They're finally able to get people on campus, things like that. But I think that's definitely hurt their evaluation game so far coming into the summer. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all breaks down. I know they're hoping to get some other kids here over the next week. Lucas Heyer, who's the number one recruit in the state of Minnesota from Hill Murray, is a tackle. Apparently, they're hoping to get him in for an official visit midweek next week. You know, it'll be interesting to see how well they do with that one. He's giving off the typical I don't really want to stay home vibes. He's looking, you know, he's pulling the, you know, I want to look at more of the academic powerhouses. So Stanford is high on his list, things like that right now. Which, I mean, if you're going to get a Stanford education, can you really blame the kid? Probably not. No. Another one of the top in-state offensive linemen, Dalen Hastert, was up for his official visit weekend last weekend. It sounds like it's down to a three-way battle between Minnesota, Iowa, and Iowa State for his services. He's from Marshall, so, of course, the Gophers have another offensive lineman right now, Blaze Andries, who I'm sure is working him hard behind the scenes, trying to convince him that the Gophers are where he wants to end up. So, you know, there's still lots of things I think they're going to break over here over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, and it'll be, you know, something to keep us a little bit busy this summer paying attention to. But, yeah, I mean, arguably this will probably be the weirdest recruiting cycle, not only because with everybody taking their COVID year, you know, Minnesota, you know, somehow, some way, has always found close to taking the full 25 guys every class. That's not going to happen this year. Minnesota probably is going to only have a 16, 17 recruit class this year. So how that's all going to come together, we'll find out over the next few weeks, but it's going to be a little different.
Well, obviously, we're at the point where seasons are done, which means it's Golden Goldie's time. I don't think we really just want to, like, rattle off a whole bunch of names in a row here, but Big Ten Medal of Honor winners, I think, would be interesting to call out. And, Andy, I think you've got the information on all that.
Yeah, you know, the Big Ten Medal of Honor winners, one female athlete and one male athlete at each school are given the award. It's basically the biggest honor that the Big Ten gives every year, and they announced the Minnesota recipients earlier this evening, and it was Sarah Bacon, the women's diver, two-time NCAA champion, who, as we'll talk about in a little bit, unfortunately failed in her quest to qualify for the U.S. Olympic team last weekend, and then the male award winner was Jack LaFontaine. The Mike Richter Award winner as the best college goalie in the country last season for the Gophers, who's luckily for the Gophers decided to come back for a super senior year this year and will be back stopping the Pride on Ice. But, you know, it's like I said, it's the biggest honor that, you know, can be given to a school's athletes. You know, it's you know, pretty impressive to see what exactly Bacon and LaFontaine have done in their seasons. I mean, obviously, if you followed the blog, you know what Jack LaFontaine meant for the Gopher hockey team. Sarah Bacon, as we said, two-time NCAA champion, goes down as arguably the most decorated female individual athlete in Gopher history. No other athlete has ever won 4 NCAA championships during her time at the U. So, well deserved for both, and like I said, we're lucky that normally when you get the Big Ten Medal of Honor, it means you've moved on to other things, and we get one more year of Jack LaFontaine coming up here this fall.
Yeah, hats off to both Jack and Sarah. I will say that's probably one of the things that I'm most bummed about coming into the Olympics is that she won't have the opportunity to compete. Right now, honestly, it's Gable Steveson in wrestling, and that's it right now for the Gophers, correct? There's still some swimming out there, for potential Gopher Olympians, but Outside of that, no one else has made their Olympic dreams come true. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and we're really getting into the heat of things with the rest of the Olympic trials. But yeah, so far, other than Gable Steveson, Minnesota does not have any obvious representatives in the Olympic Games. Sarah Bacon arguably had the best chance. Her and her partner Cassidy Cook were one of the top couple teams in the 3-meter synchronized diving event, and Bacon has had success in the individual 3-meter event. Unfortunately, they just muffed a couple of dives when they needed not to, and that was all it took. Bacon and Cook finished second in the 3-meter synchro. Unfortunately, only the top teams going to Tokyo. And then in the individuals, Bacon ended up finishing third, but unfortunately only the top two were going to Tokyo. So Sarah Bacon, close but no cigar, unfortunately, and she will not be making it on the U.S. diving team. The U.S. swimming trials are going on this week as we speak in Omaha. The Gophers have made a couple of finals. Gopher senior Max McHugh, the NCAA champion in the 100 and 200-meter breaststrokes last spring. He made the 100-meter breaststroke final, ended up finishing 7th Monday night. He competed in the 200 earlier today and didn't make tomorrow night's final. But the Gophers do have a representative, alum Bo Becker. Becker, who won NCAA championships in the 50 and 100 freestyle back in, I believe, 2016, qualified for the 100-meter freestyle final Thursday night. So you'll be able to watch him compete live on NBC in the final. He comes in with the 6th-seeded time. I think only the top two, maybe it's the top three, make it onto the U.S. team. So he's definitely got an uphill climb to try and earn his spot, but at least he'll have one more shot. And then starting this weekend, going into next week, will be the U.S. track and field Olympic trials. You know, if you're looking, really, I think the Ben Blankenship, former Gopher distance runner, is competing in the 1500 meters. Absa Ali, former NCAA champion in the 3000-meter steeplechase, will be competing for a spot on the U.S. team. Both of them will have to have some significant, you know, great races to qualify. So, and then there'll be a few other international athletes. Kiara Smith, who is a former Gopher swimmer, she competed for Canada in the 2016 Olympics. She's going to look to qualify, I believe it's this upcoming week, in the Canadian trial. So she may represent Canada in the Olympics. The Gophers have another swimmer who potentially might squeeze onto the Israeli Olympic team in swimming. But yeah, for the U.S. team, you know, obviously the basketball, Joey King and the U.S. 3-on-3 team didn't qualify for the Olympics. They sort of flamed out. So it's unfortunately a little bit of slim pickings for former Gophers, current Gophers. You know, however, it's not long until things start really revving up for 2022 Winter Olympics, and that obviously becomes, with Minnesota's traditional winter sport hotbed, more of a chance where we'll see a lot more athletes coming up. But hopefully we can get somebody other than Gable to be able to cheer for here this summer.
Speaking of winter, some hockey news coming out unexpectedly this week. August Stana, down in South Dakota, it has announced they are launching a Division I hockey team. Andy, where are they even going to end up conference-wise?
That's a very good question. And that's sort of the problem of starting it. I mean, arguably, they probably would be a good fit for the what now is no longer the WCHA, but the new CCHA that Don Lucia will be the commissioner of, that will start up this fall, which basically was the teams that were in the old WCHA, the modern old WCHA, not the old WCHA, but it's basically half of the old CCHA teams, Mankato and Bemidji, and would be probably a pretty good fit. St. Thomas will be in that league starting next year. But St. Thomas is the 8th team in that league. So all of a sudden now, if you want to add Augustana, you start screwing up scheduling, things like that. So then you wonder, okay, can they find a 10th? You know, but that's down the line. You know, either way, I think Augustana will look to launch, but they probably won't realistically be playing Division I competition till you know, I would have to guess at this point, 2024, 2025. They are currently a Division II school. They play in the NSIC conference with UMD and St. Cloud and a lot of those other schools in the upper Midwest. They don't have a hockey team at all right now. So they would literally be adding one from scratch. It's not like St. Thomas, who's moving from D3 to D1. Augustana doesn't have a program at all. But it looks like they're going to, you know, most of the new programs that have come online have had financial bankers. Obviously, Penn State had the Pegulas. It's sounding like it's our good old pal T. Denny Sanford, who's, you know, all over Sioux Falls. Looking like he's going to pony up a good chunk of change to help jumpstart the Augustana program. So
he does like to have his name on South Dakota things.
He pretty much anything in the city of Sioux Falls has his name on it, and now Augustana's hockey program will as well. It sounds like the school put out a statement today saying they'll have more information coming up here later this summer. Like I said, I can't imagine they're at least probably 2, 3, 4 years away. But you know, it's another upper Midwest hockey school. That'll be nice. Just for, you know, obviously there's still plenty of upper Midwest athletes who could play Division I hockey, or the other way to go it is as they become, you know, right now their athletic director is a North Dakota alum, and they start hitting the Canadian pipeline and turn themselves into a mini North Dakota. So you know, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But you know, more hockey programs are good. It's a good thing to get as many potential Division I hockey programs, especially in the upper Midwest, as possible. More opportunities for athletes, and you know, with Robert Morris ending their program, obviously they're not going for the same recruiting pool pretty much, but you know, it's nice to see a couple more programs joining the ranks and hopefully
at a time that sport is contracting more generally in terms of teams, it is nice to see one launched.
Well, and it's always the, you know, we're still waiting to see, obviously the Big Ten is still sitting at their seven teams. Now, Augustana is
Illinois.
Well, that's the thing. Augustana is obviously not going to join the Big Ten. That's not happening. But there's still the uncertainty of what Arizona State's going to do and if they're ever going to earn a bid to a major conference. And, we're still waiting to see if this Illinois thing is ever actually going to happen or, you know, so, but like I said, you know, the turn of these programs potentially adding hockey and hopefully coming out of COVID here and getting back to their money-making ways and hopefully being able to use that to add additional programs and things like that would be good. So,
all right, miscellaneous time, how we're spending summer. Andy was forced to go it alone. He was forced to go it alone on the last podcast because I disappeared into the wilds of Utah and several other states along the way and on the way home. But I would strongly recommend, if you have never visited the Big Five National Parks in Utah, you go ahead and get that done. One thing I can tell you, if you have not been paying attention, the national parks are packed this year. Everybody is ready to be done with COVID restrictions and spending time inside. And it, like when we were at Arches National Park, they were closing for 4 or 5 hours during the middle of the day. It sounds like now they're starting to close at 9 a.m. for 4 to 5 hours at least, because they have too many people getting into the park to start the day and they just can't, there's no parking or anything else. So they just have to say, hey, sorry, if you're not in the park yet, you're going to have to wait. So if you're getting out there, I'm sure, you know, even within the state of Minnesota, wouldn't shock me if the state parks are just getting slammed this year. So go enjoy your outdoors. But if you haven't planned ahead, start planning ahead now, I think, because it sounds like everybody wants a piece of nature right now. That's been my big thing. I'm mostly just trying to get used to the fact that, you know, it's, we can all spend a lot of time around each other and in person and, you know, wandering into restaurants, no longer having to be masked sometimes. You know, obviously that feels pretty good since I've been vaccinated. It's just, I'm glad to get more communal and spend more time with people. Andy, is that kind of how you've walked your way into the summer as well?
Yeah, you know, pretty much. It's you know, nice to been out and things like that. You know, obviously with two younger kids, we haven't been able to go cross country or anything like that. But we
wait. You're telling me you don't want to drag your kids on a trip that requires 30 hours of driving just to get to your first destination?
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a kidless person thing, so more power to you, or at least the kids when they can, you know, do things for themselves thing. So we'll talk about that trip here in 5 or 6 years. But, you know, it we've been just trying to get out more locally and things like that, and obviously, for anybody who's not from Minnesota, it's been stupid hot here to start June, which has made things both easier and more complicated, depending upon what you want to do when you're outside. Yeah, you know, it's been a good start to summer. It's nice to see things starting to get back to normal, and it'll be you know, really nice to be able to start actively thinking about filling TCF Bank Stadium and about planning road trips and about being able to, you know, start looking to what fun things you can do and things like that. So, you know, obviously summer is just really getting kicked on underway. We're only in mid-June, but and in Minnesota, it's probably not a wise idea to be already looking at mid-June to hopefully optimistically looking towards fall. But in either case, no, it's been a good summer so far, and you know, the Olympics coming up here in about a month will be something that, you know, whether we're paying attention to Gophers or not, something else to watch. And so yeah, it's biding our time until we can start obsessing about football again.
Have you come across a summer beer that you're just loving right now?
You know, honestly, just because it's been so hot, I've been going for the easy to drink one. So, the one I've been crushing pretty good has been Crankin' Foamers, the lime version from Fair State. And actually they originally did it as a collaborative with Modern Times, brewery as well, but they've been putting it out. It's basically a, craftish version of just your typical American adjunct lager with lime flavor. Basically, consider it a beer snob's Bud Light Lime.
Well, actually, that's been kind of... there's three different breweries in Cincinnati that have all put out really great lagers. One of them, Braxton Brewing, has had their garage beer lager forever, and it's always been really good. But two of the other breweries have really just kind of come out and heavily marketed their new lagers in the last... maybe they had them last summer, I don't remember the push being this heavy on them. And all three of them are fantastic, and that's been the same for me with it being really hot and humid down here. Just a really tasty lager, you know, is frankly the way to go, I think, more often than not. If it's not that, then I'm hitting up some sort of Radler or fruit related beer. There's a tangerine one from Taft Brewing in Cincinnati I gotta get my hands on. I will say, speaking of heat, that old joke about, well, it's a dry heat, maybe when it's 125 in Arizona it'll suck, but I'll tell you right now, I'll take 95 in Arizona or Utah over 95 in Cincinnati any day of the week. It's just not having to deal with the humidity is so much better. It's 1,000,000% better.
Yeah, no, that's something we can't really talk about up here, because it's...
Is it already humid for you guys up there?
Oh yeah, it's been a not nice start to June. The air conditioner has been running pretty much nonstop. So, but yeah,
I thought it was just hot. I didn't realize you guys were also getting crushed with humidity, since that's, you know, not normally the Minnesota way. It's usually into July before.
Well, I mean, yeah, admittedly, it hasn't been like full on humid because we haven't been getting the thunderstorms, because we haven't been getting any rain, which is the other thing, is Minnesota is starting to deal with some rather significant drought issues. So for any of our listeners who might be farmers, yeah, hopefully we get some rain here to help you out, because I'm sure things aren't going to be great there. But you know, it definitely feels like summer, that's for sure.
All right, well, boo summer weather. Let's all just move to Utah. That's, oh, also, there's no reason to live in Utah. Visit Utah, but it's beautiful. I don't, it's too dusty, man. Way too dusty for me. It gets everywhere. I can't stand that. But we'll have to see in the meantime if any new recruits come across, Olympic trials. We'll have some more stuff to talk about here in the near future. So look out for the next Sky U podcast. My guess is probably about 2 weeks. And in the meantime, go Gophers. Sky U Ma. Row the boat.
Go Gophers, row the boat.